This is Grave Confessions from the Grave Talks. Daily, raw, real, and disturbing accounts of the living interacting with the dead. To share your grave confession, experience with the paranormal, supernatural, or the undead, call toll-free 888-GHOST-13. That's 888-446-7813. Now, today's grave confession.
Yes, I got two ghost stories. Well, one ghost story and one possible ghost story. I'm going to start with the first one, which really happened to my brother. We used to live in Pillar Street in Brooklyn, and 21 Pillar Street. I'm talking about the year 1964. Me and my brother were over 60 years old, but in 1964, we went to move to this neighborhood in 252 Schenectady Avenue for like about 6 months. Until my father made a arrangement to buy this business or rent this business on 22nd and 4th Avenue, right next to the Riviera nightclub. And those 6 months, we lived in this apartment, like I said, 252 Schenectady Avenue, and it was really haunted. I mean, it was pretty creepy. The place was creepy. I can't say haunted because I didn't experience it. Who experienced it was my brother. But I remember it was on the second floor to the right of the building. It was like a four-story building. Well, you can find it because there's a picture of the building, the actual building in that area. And I remember my brother would be crying because he was experiencing something, and I didn't know what it was. And My mother would just grab my brother and take him to the room. When you entered the apartment, there was this hallway, and there was a room next to the kitchen, the only room, which was apart from the other two rooms, which was next to the window of the front of the building. This was like going to the back of the building, and it was next to the kitchen, to the right of the hallway. And you would pass the bathroom, and then you would get to the room where he would sleep at, and then came the kitchen, and there was like an opening, which would go to the kitchen, where you can see from his bedroom to the kitchen. Well, the thing is, he would cry, and every night, you know, during the day there was no problem. I mean, you could walk around the whole building, and there was no problem. You know, it was like nothing. But during the night, the place would get like I don't know, like creepy. It was like a tunnel. Like when you look from where I would sleep at, which was next to where my parents slept at, which was from the front of the building, the roof that was next to the front of the building. You would look through the hallway, and it would like curve. You couldn't see the kitchen from the bedroom because it would kind of like curve, and. And it looked kind of like creepy, very dark, and I don't know, it was just something about it that was not right. And when my brother would come crying, my mother would grab him by the arm and say, "No, you're going to go sleep there tonight." She didn't believe him. And I remember one night I would tell my mother, "Mom, could you let him sleep with me? Because there's something happening over there," which I didn't know what it was. And my mother would tell me, If you don't shut up, you're gonna go sleep over there." And you know, like, I was a kid. I was like 8 years old, and I was scared to death about the place. And I kept my mouth shut. And then after we moved from the place, my brother would tell me what happened. He told me that it was this, every time he would go to sleep, there was this person that would come walking right to the. He would hear the steps. Like coming from the doorway at the entrance of the apartment, but he would hear like these steps, and it would come right in front of where he slept at. And this one time, he looked up, and he saw the individual, and it was like a skinny man, young man, dressed like in an old style dress and suit and. When I took a couple of pictures, but I said, "Look, since I'm a history buff, I told him, look, The guy wore what would you call a frock coat, and he didn't know what a frock coat was. I said, "Look, I found a couple of pictures of that era, and I showed him." He said, "Yeah, he was dressed like in there with that type of tie, like a bow tie, and I could see his hands were white, and he was real white, pale white." And after that, I wouldn't look again anymore. He said he wouldn't look again anymore. And every time that this ghost would appear, or the shadow, whatever it was, he said he would even urinate on himself. As a matter of fact, the mattress where he slept at was so damaged by the urinating that they had to throw it away. My parents just threw it away because it was no good. It was just damaged. And years later, it was kind of so scary, the place. And the story he told me later on, because he told me once the story, but it was so kind of frightening. And we were just kids, you know, I just didn't want to hear about it. But then a couple of years ago, when I was 50 years old, 58 years old, I got the courage to one day tell him, "Look, let's write it down. I'm gonna record the experience you had." And since I used to belong to an organization of independent journalists and a communicator group organization, I took up a lot of experience in communicating and writing report writing. And so I wrote it down. As a matter of fact, it's even published, because if you go to Haunting in Connecticut, or the Haunting in Connecticut, in Yahoo or Google's, it'll come up, because it's recorded in writing, because I wrote it in detail. And matter of fact, I think I posted a picture of the building, which I don't remember right now, but I believe it. Then, not too long ago, I went to it, and I couldn't find the picture, the photo, I mean. Because, like I said, the building still exists, and I found it on Google Images, because I went to that area to show my brother the building, and exactly it was in Google Images, because it still exists. The building is still standing. And as a matter of fact, they're renting rooms, but it's been renovated, because they show the apartment renovated. But then I wrote down what happened to him, and he told me that after we moved, everything stopped. You know, the other apartment where we moved to, everything stopped. And as a matter of fact, one night, my mother was calling my brother again to send him to sleep to the area, and my brother broke out crying hysterically. I remember that. And my father went to him, and crying, he told my father, Dad, look, this happened. There's a man coming up and standing next to my bed every night, and he's scaring me, and I don't want to sleep there anymore. You know, my mother was very strict, and she didn't believe in it. But then my father was more sentimental about it, and it took pity on my brother, because he went through experience too when he was young, which that would be another story to tell too. But he told my brother, "Look, don't worry, you're not going to sleep here anymore. Tonight you're going to sleep next to us." So he moved, he opened the bed, because we had one of these beds that would open and close. And he slept there, which was next to me, pretty close to me. I was the closest to the hallway, which kind of like frightened me then. And I said, "Wait a minute, now it's going to come to me." But that's about the story. And the other story was years before I retired from the Postal Service, me and my wife and I went to Gettysburg. Like I said, I'm a history buff, and I wanted to go to Gettysburg, at the battle scene area, the historic park. And from there, I went all the way down to Hendersonville prison camp in Georgia. But in one of the routes that we took to Gettysburg, there was this man taking a picture, and he was taking photos in these type of photo boxes, like from the 1800s, The man was dressed like a semi-gentleman cowboy era dress with a frock coat, like a cowboy hat. It was like more dressy than a cowboy hat, than a regular cowboy hat. And the guy was skinny. He was pale white because when I went close to him, because I was looking for Devil's Den, and I got close to him in the car we rented, and I asked him, oh, sir, can you tell us where Devil's Den is at? And the man just turned around without answering the question, without answering us or talking to us, kind of slowly, and he pointed to where the area was at. He didn't say anything anymore. And I looked back to see if he disappeared, but no, he didn't disappear. So maybe that was just some kind of reenact or somebody who just likes to dress like that and take photos. I called to the park to see if there's anybody that would dress like that, but nobody would answer any questions. They told me, well, just write about it. Write an article and send us the article written. And I said, wait a minute, well, they don't know and they don't have any facts or any historic or any documents of people dressing in the area, taking photos of the place, dressed in that era, in that time and era. Well, maybe if they couldn't say anything about it. Well, I said, well, let me leave it like that. But it's just something that I just order a little extra to talk about and let everybody know what I saw. And my wife saw it, so maybe it wasn't a ghost, maybe it was just somebody. But the guy looked pale, and he looked like one of these famous photographers from the era, which I really don't remember their names. Like one of them, I would look at a photo of one of them, and he looked like one of them. And he was dressed just like him, with, like I say, frock coat, this kind of almost Western-style hat, but like a gentleman-type, Western-type hat, well-dressed, but pale white.
This has been a Grave Confession from the Grave Talks. To share your grave confession experience with the paranormal or the undead, call toll-free 888-GHOST-13. That's 888-446-7813.